Well, 20th Century Fox, you finally did something right. Now, granted, you didn't do well with the Star Wars prequels. You didn't do too well with Fantastic Four. But with X-Men and with Deadpool, all was forgiven. First things first, I gotta ask you, what did you all think of that X-Men Apocalypse trailer?
Me, personally, I think it looks cool. I gotta go back and watch the Days of Future Past movie again. I wanna watch that one more time, because I kinda didn't get that. I don't know, I didn't, but I don't know, it's a little confusing.
That one saved X-Men.
Yeah, I think it did, and it was a good movie. I just want to see it again before I see the Apocalypse, but I kind of wish they would have done Apocalypse the villain a lot better, you know, like the way he looked. That's the only thing, the downfall about it.
I will give Bryan Singer this, that after he released his initial first look at Apocalypse, I was he went back, changed it up a little bit, and I was like, I'm going to give you some props, you were listening, you're not trying to be like, oh, it's my vision of X-Men. Because I'm Bryan Singer. Ah, I fucked up Superman.
Don't worry, we'll see what Zack Snyder's gonna do with that.
Yes, we will. And we will bask in his awesomeness.
Dude, Evan Peters back as Quicksilver, I'm fine.
Yeah, that is true. We got Evan Peters back as Quicksilver. We got Storm in this new universe.
Yeah, Storm looks cool. I think she looks better than Halle Berry.
Yeah, I think anybody does at this point. We got Cyclops, which I'm still not enthralled with. I've never been a fan of this character.
Hit or miss.
Nobody likes their boss. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. He's kind of there for everybody to... I mean, everybody loves Wolverine, and everybody loves Nightcrawler, and everybody else, but Cyclops is the one that you're there to kind of hate.
Well, Nightcrawler's back.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nightcrawler looks.
And I got to admit, you know, you say the Days of Future Past saved the X-Men's movie franchise. I like to think that, in my opinion, it was X2, First Class.
Yeah, First Class. It got a lot of heat when I watched it. I was like, oh, this is okay.
Better than I like that they introduced a lot of characters in it, but I didn't like how they introduced those characters. They just kind of like, oh, okay, here's all these people, and you're like, oh, sweet, where'd they go? Emma Frost, she's huge in the X universe. She showed up in one movie, and how many have they done now? Like six?
Well, she was in Wolverine Origins, I think, and I think she was in Generation X. The less we talk about that one, the better.
She made for TV once, I remember that.
Yeah. I'm not too sure if they're going to bring her back. It depends if they could. January Jones, yeah.
Right now, I'm going to put this out. I'm going to hashtag this show. Scott Lang is Cable.
Yes?
Scott Lang is Cable.
Fully endorsed.
Who's Scott Lang again? Is that...
Scott Lang from Avatar.
I thought about him, too.
He's like 65 years old. He can kick all of our asses in a heartbeat.
Well, we're going to get into it, because Cable, I know, is not only an X-Men... I think he's the son of Jean Grey and Cyclops.
He's actually the son of Cyclops and Madeline Pryor, a clone of Jean Grey, but same difference.
Right, and he time travels and he hangs out with Deadpool, which we will get into. But for this movie, I've seen it twice. 20th Century Fox definitely hedging their bets. I think after Fantastic Four pissed on everybody, and after just... There are no words anymore to discuss how bad Fantastic Four did. I just remember watching the trailer to Deadpool that it was just there, and people were just like, okay, 20th Century Fox is trying to compete with the House of Mouse and never going to win. And it was disappointing because I would go back and I read the comics, I'm like, because Sony owns Ghost Rider and Spider-Man, Disney owns several characters, 20th Century Fox just has X-Men. You were never going to see the adaptations that we all wanted. We were just going to see really piss-poor fan fiction. Deadpool, I have to admit, I was scared going in, as I said a couple podcasts ago. I just kept watching the trailer. I guess we should go back to the supposed quote-unquote leaked footage that I saw back in 2014. Thanks to Ryan Reynolds and Tim Miller and a few others. Pretty much the story that I've heard is that it went back to the Blade franchise, where Ryan Reynolds, one of the directors or producers, said, hey, I think you'd be great as Wade Wilson. And Ryan Reynolds was like, huh? What? Yeah. And he was given a stack of Deadpool comics. And then when Wolverine Origins came around, just like what 20th Century Fox did with Galactus, they were like, well, we're going to make Galactus and Fantastic Four a gigantic cloud, but then when we do the Silver Surfer movie, which came out in, you know, never, you would see Galactus, and that didn't work. And they decided to do that with Deadpool, and Ryan Reynolds said, I don't think that's going to work the way you tried to do with Galactus and Fantastic Four. And 20th Century Fox pretty much said, well, if you don't like what we're doing with Deadpool, we'll get somebody else. And Ryan
and
Reynolds...
And they would sue him, too, because he was contractually obligated to be in the movie.
So, I heard about Deadpool through two things. Wolverine Origins, and I heard through that Netflix streaming movie, Hulk versus Thor and Hulk versus Wolverine. Well, in Hulk versus Wolverine, Deadpool showed up in. Yeah. That's where I saw him. So,
is that where you got your Deadpool initiation from?
Sadly, yes. I mean, I would go into the comic book stores, and I think... I told you, I was a DC guy. I was a fan of X-Men, but because of the first movie, I was like, meh. And then the second movie came out, I was like, yeah. And then you know, and then The Last Stand came out, I was like, okay, I'm done.
What the hell did I just watch that for?
Yeah. So...
No, I mean, New Mutants 98, man.
Yeah, New Mutants 98, which you can get now through Comixology.
I bought that on newsstand, bro.
And...
Yeah,
I lost my copy.
Right?
But... I know a lot of people like me were on the interweb going, what the fuck did you do with Deadpool and Origins that Wade Wilson won't shut up, and then you sew his mouth and you give him the powers of Cyclops. Teleportation he would get later on, but
yeah,
through a device that...
Katana's coming out of his knuckles, too.
Yeah, well, they made him like a Mary Sue. He can teleport, but he stole that technology. So that would happen later. Despite... Yep. Even though Origins, I've... You know, gotten over and.
Origins was horrid.
Yeah.
From start to finish. It was an ass raping of the fucking Wolverine mythology, is what it was.
What about Gambit?
That was like a slap in the face to every damn Gambit fan on the planet.
Yeah, it was pretty weak.
Was like, hey, let's get, like, this Asian chick to play Colossus. What?
Yeah, I'd like to forget about that, but. Origins became like this guilty pleasure MST3K Roger Corman, like if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I have insomnia and I need a sleeping pill but it's too late for a sleeping pill, I'll pop Origins in. That's just the way I roll. If I want something to give to a newbie to say, okay, you really want to get into the X-Men, here's how you go to cram for finals: X-Men United, First Class, and Days of Future Past, and then read the graphic novels.
Yeah.
And I can understand why people were so pissed off. But with Deadpool, when I finally sat down, like, how do you cram for finals for this before the movie comes out, this was a challenge because Deadpool, you could pretty much do anything with him and put him anywhere and he works.
No.
You can't throw him
in the middle of an infinity, like Infinity War.
No.
He's going to be that one guy that's going to bring down everything, that climactic, amazing action, and you're going to be like, hey, I'm over here. Let's look it over here. Blah, 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 blah. No, you can't have that in the middle of that.
That's like Howard the Duck in the end of freaking Ernest, the middle of Guardians of the Galaxy. There's not enough appreciation for Howard.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but let me ask you this then. What about Deadpool's Secret Wars?
All right. Let me inform all of the Hunnic Outcast listeners right now. I don't like Deadpool as a character. I think he was originally created by Rob Liefeld. I was a fan, so because he was a different character then. He wasn't as annoyingly all over the fucking place with 64,000 miniseries to catch up on if you were a fan of the character.
I always liked Deadpool, but that's what kept me from actually getting into him and reading them, because there were so many different books I didn't know where to jump in at. And then Marvel did this reboot where they just started back at number one after the whole Secret Wars, and I've been reading that. Like, and that's actually really good. It's a really good series. You know, it's up to issue 7 now or something like that. But that's really good. And the Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, I read that. That's actually really cool. I didn't read all of the books, but I got the 4 main issues of that.
Right.
But I do like the new Deadpool. But as far as going back and trying to read all those other ones, it's going to take some time, you know.
Because, I mean, he was in everything. I mean, he had, like, team up books, his own books with mini series and offshoots and one shots.
Is there a Deadpool versus Thanos? Or is that one?
Yes, I have that. Yes.
Okay, yeah, I want to get that guy. I'm a big Thanos fan, so definitely I wouldn't mind rechecking that out.
Getting ready for this, and after, of course, I saw the movie twice, I went back and started reading the Deadpool series from 1997 that ran from 97 to 2002. I think where they're taking the bulk of the material for the movie, within the first story arc, you've got, of course, Deadpool, but you've got Al, and you've got all the people at the Home for Wayward Girls. You've got Ajax and a whole lot of other elements that pop up in the movie. So that must have been where they've taken the bulk of their materials. Written, that first story was written by Joe Kelly, and Ed McGuinness did the pencils. It's really fantastic. Comixology just did a big sale, and that's where I got the bulk of it.
That was the one Deadpool series that I collected for about a full 2 years, and then immediately after I stopped collecting it, they stopped the series, which is funny.
Yeah. I got a new Deadpool with Spider-Man, with Ed McGuinness is writing this really nice book. It's on issue number 2.
So far, I've read Merc with a Mouth. I've read The Trade.
That's really good.
Yeah, Dead Presidents. I've read The Killology. I've read the Spider-Man Deadpool team-up. I've read Secret Wars, and of course Deadpool versus Thanos, which is actually, it breaks my heart because they're never going to be able to make that into, I don't think, any sort of feature film, because Thanos is now part of Marvel. Fortunately, it's interesting because we're going to get into Deadpool's love of death just the way that Thanos loves death, and it kind of reminds me of Popeye, where you have Thanos as Bluto, or Brutus, which, if you want to talk about irony, it's because of rights, that sometimes they had to call him Bluto or Brutus because of rights with King's features.
Here's what I want to see. I want to see Domino.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I want to see Siren.
Yes.
Because Siren was his first superhero love crush, and I love that story, and I want to see that story. And I want to see Domino because Cable's going to be there, and if I don't see Domino, I'll be pissed.
Yeah.
Well, didn't we already see a Domino movie? Or is that not...
No.
No, that had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
That was just something else.
Okay.
The Rock was great Domino
in The Last Airbender. They were not the same thing.
Not at all.
Okay, so we can... I don't have to watch that movie ever.
What?
No. Not
Avatar The Last Airbender? Oh, God, no.
Domino. I don't have to watch Domino ever.
No, you can see Keira Knightley act poorly in any movie. You don't have to watch Domino.
Okay. It is not a superhero. Oh, is that why at the end credits where Deadpool is saying that Keira Knightley should play Cable? Was that a joke that she was Domino?
That was a jab at that movie.
I think that's a little jab at her.
Did you like how the fact that it was a shot for shot, like everything recreation of Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, I had a feeling, and that was perfect for me. People either got it or they didn't, and people were confused because today's generation will not watch Ferris Bueller.
It wasn't meant for that generation. It was meant for our generation.
And actually, Van Wilder tried to be Ferris Bueller, but it didn't work. And here's what kills me, because we have an Indian character, Dupender, who is the cab driver. I was kind of hoping they would have gotten Cal Penn because they were in Van Wilder together. But I love the guy who plays Dupender. The only thing I'm going to say is I was disappointed that in the 21st century, and I'll just put it out there, where the African-American community are complaining they're not getting enough roles in movies, the Middle Eastern department, I mean, they're still cab drivers or terrorists in movies.
Yeah.
And Dupender, the actor was in a few of those AT&T commercials, where there was one of them, he got pulled over by a cop and he wanted to take the cop's pepper spray and put it on his taco because he likes it spicy, but not too spicy.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in the Yahoo TV series Other Space, which satirized The Office, but it was in outer space and it had Joel Hodgson from MST3K and the girl Lily from the AT&T commercials. So he's funny, but we don't get enough scenes. I'm hoping that he comes back. I would have loved to see him as Hydra Bob. Blind Al was perfect.
I swear to God, I thought that was the...
Yeah, I thought it was Michelle Nichols as well. No, it was Leslie Uggams I guess if you put her next to her, I don't know too much about Leslie Uggams, but I'll tell you right now, I'm going to become a fan of hers. Most of the stuff I think was ad-lib between her, Ryan Reynolds. They were perfect together. Apparently in the comics, the way that it works is that he found her and kept her in the apartment and apparently left traps, but he would leave hints, even though she was blind, about how she'd get out. Like, she wasn't really kept prisoner, but he was just kind of like they were known for playing pranks on each other. A lot. So that was just the way that he rolled. And eventually, when he just told her, you know, you're not really a prisoner, we're just playing pranks on each other, they eventually became friends. Now, in the movie, he claims that she's his Alfred, although he has multiple sidekicks. I mean, he's got, I guess Dupender would be a new one, because I guess he's invented for the movie. You got Hydra Bob, even though there was this whole big thing that Walt Disney Pictures said that they own the rights to Hydra because of what's going on with Captain America. So Bob was in the movie, but they just called him Bob.
Yeah.
Then you have Blind Al.
On a freaking S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. freaking helicarrier.
Thank you.
Was it the Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier?
That was the greatest F.U. Disney I've seen in my life.
It was the helicarrier.
It was.
That's what they're saying.
It was the concept
It was a helicarrier, but it's not. It kind of reminded me of the ship from, or I guess it was the submarine from First Class, because it had that big hole in it. And I was kind of like, oh, that kind of looks like what they did in First Class.
Aw, look, Todd just gave them their loophole.
Right.
That is their legal loophole to be like, no, it's a fish.
Yeah. Bigger and threw turbines on.
20th Century Fox has been playing X-Men movies since 2000, and for the past 16 years they've been using the same mansion, which I love.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that. And I love the continuity that they claim that the mansion got blown up a couple times. I am kind of curious, though, because the rumors that I heard, and I guess this is finalized,
X-Men.
That because the budget was $58 million, that what they had to do was take a giant ball and put X-Men names into a ball and see who they could pop out, who they could afford. And they picked Colossus and the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious teenage warhead. I don't know too much about this guy.
Teenage warhead, bro.
Yeah.
What?
You know what she reminds me of?
you ever
watch Steven Spielberg's Animaniacs?
Yeah.
Okay, remember Katie Kaboom?
Yeah.
Okay, for those of you who don't know who we're talking about, Steven Spielberg's Animaniacs was in the early 90s, and there was this great character, and she was always on a period called Katie Kaboom, and anytime she got pissed off, which seemed to be like in each segment, which was like 2 minutes long, she literally blew up and blew up her parents' house, and her father, I think, was supposed to be Jimmy Stewart. I forget who the mother and the brother were supposed to represent, but it was supposed to be like a 1950s nuclear family. And she always got pissed off and blew up. That's what this teenage warhead reminds me of. I think she came out in 2001, this X-Men.
Yeah.
But I also heard that she was very short-lived.
Yeah,
you just related a the fact that you just related a character like that to the Animaniacs. This is podcast as well.
Right.
Listen, she can be like,
that was some wonderful synapsis work. I'm sorry.
The writers of Deadpool are going to be like, awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Who was the kid who's an Animaniac? No, we were like, Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Right? Otherwise known as AKA Katie Kaboom.
Yeah.
Nice to see that, Jeremy. You discovered her alias.
Does anybody know about this character? Because I just, the research she was in 2001. I think she died, or something to that effect. I'm not too sure what her powers are. Her powers are supposed to be different than the comics there in the movie.
Yeah.
And the actor, well, people liked her. I have nothing against the character, but it's just like any moody teenager. And I don't understand the point of putting the moody teenager in this movie.
That's okay. Go ahead and finish your tweet.
It was
literally there for Ryan Reynolds to play off.
I liked her. I thought she was hilarious.
He plays off her well.
Yeah. Oh, you're tweeting this? Hashtag it. You're weird. Yeah.
He plays off of her well, I guess. I mean, the best scenes are on the bridge, but of course, most of the best scenes are on the bridge anyway.
Yeah. That really was a great scene. That whole sequence where you're seeing him beat up Colossus and break his bones in the process, she doesn't crack a smile until he kicks him, when he kicks him. That was a great scene. It took all of that to impress the Mr. Giggle.
I gotta ask about Colossus, though. I'm not the X-Men fan. I know of him, and I know that people went ape when he was in X-Men 2. But here's my question. Was he ever this Jiminy Cricket-ish? Because Colossus that I saw in 2 and 3, it was like he's a badass. And this one, it's like, breakfast is most important meal of the day. Take him. And then, like, he throws up metal.
You're a hero when you wake up. You're a hero when you take a shot. He was the cuddly older brother.
For everything, it's the same universe, but for everything that the all-American that Captain America is, and the good homeboy and everything like that, that's what Colossus is for the Russian side.
So, does he actually throw up metal like he does in the movie, like when he gets...
That's the first time I ever seen it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it was metal, but I mean, I guess if it becomes mixed with his DNA, then I guess it would be.
That's the other question I have too with Colossus. Why, if he's, is he married to Kitty Pryde?
Yeah. He was romantically tied with Kitty Pryde in the books.
So why is she not in this?
Good question. Because they couldn't afford Ellen Page.
Oh please, yeah, I think they could afford her.
Ellen Page was busy.
No, I think you could afford Ellen Page at this point. I mean, I think she passed through her Juno money at this point with her.
They couldn't afford the dragon.
Oh, that's true. They couldn't afford.
They could afford money
more. They couldn't digitally make Locke need for this movie.
Ajax, I know, is not invented for this movie. That he's part of this universe. He's called Francis. I don't know if he did take the name off of a cleaning product or not. I think that's kind of invented. That seems to be the newest internet meme right now with Deadpool fighting.
Grocery area. I walked past some Ajax the other night and I giggled. I'm not gonna lie, just because that's fucking me.
Oh, there's a great internet meme right now where somebody put a tag. Yeah, Francis cleaning product $1.99. The actor who plays him, I know he was in one of the Transporter movies. People have a love-hate relationship towards this actor and the character, but I will say this much. The fact that he's not a big hulking guy, it's more realistic to me. And the fact that he's not brutish, and the fact that he's not stumbling off...
The fact he's not stumbling off of
a Shakespearean set, I really liked Ajax. I think that he's soft-spoken, he's really not in charge, he was a patient that he took over. I'm sure we're going to see Kilbrew down the road, who is the doctor of the workshop. But I thought Ajax right now, for his introduction, and nobody dies anyway in a comic book movies, that, you know, I'm sure he'll find a way to come back.
It is the X-Men universe, after all.
Yeah, I mean, who really dies in a comic book movie? I guess it's going to depend on the fans. But
Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben, yeah.
Well,
and Bruce's parents.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Uncle Ben, of course, is alive in that 94 Spider-Man cartoon in that alternate universe. I really, really, really hate clones, and of course, let's not forget one of the What If comics, but...
Yeah, on all the Spider-Verses, too.
Yeah, Spider-Verses, so, yeah, Dead No More, I'm sure it's Uncle Ben, but... Ajax right now, again, thoughts, do you think out of all the villains... And again, Marvel villains have always been a hit or miss... But for Deadpool, good introduction to have Ajax.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And of course we have Angel Dust.
Well, I mean, like, I actually think that it was smart of them not to use some big name villain in this, because it allows Deadpool to shine through in his debut movie. So I think that was just really good on their part. Smart thinking. I mean, he's a lesser villain, for lack of a better term, so... And Gina Carano.
Yeah, that's very true. And getting these actors who are not... You know, along those same lines, getting actors who aren't big, huge megastars, you know, kind of lets their character live on its own, you know, and you're not just seeing a big-name actor. You know, they got
she wanted to play Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Which would have made so much more sense for her to play Wonder Woman.
She got pissed and then went over to Fox and started Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's amazing that it's not only because she's sexy, but she's also sexy and fun. I think the trailer did not do her justice because the trailer just made her out to be less angry Rosie O'Donnell or Jose Canseco like they did in those two trailers, the green and the red. And for me, I think that was a mistake. She, once you see her fight, and yes, she does do the tropes, like the superhero landing when Deadpool's like, oh wait, she's going to do the superhero landing.
Here come.
Yeah, and when she pretty much kicks Colossus' ass, which I was surprised.
Yeah, I was kind of pissed off at that because Colossus kind of made into her little bitch.
Uh-huh.
Anybody that read X-Men during the 90s knows damn well that Colossus would trounce her ass.
She chokes the living shit out of Colossus.
Yeah, how do you choke metal like that?
She punched him in the dick.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was amazing because people were complaining that, like, what was the point of Colossus? It was like, was that the joke? Like, he was just this big metal guy and he keeps getting thrown around like a little bitch.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
And I'm all out of bubblegum!
Astro Radio Z is a horror, cult, exploitation film podcast hosted by me, Derek Carey. I was one of those monster kids growing up. The one that used to sit in the back end of that video store and scour over every single last film cover you saw back there. From the slashers to the monsters to the sleazy stuff. Yeah, I was freaking obsessed. And I still am. So much so, I became a filmmaker myself. Now I bring on all my filmmaker friends, critics, musicians, and any other fans of the dark arts, which are horror, exploitation, and cult film. Are you one of these people? Then tune in and listen to my show, Astro Radio Z.
Hey, Geekcast listeners. Do you ever listen to Punisher Body Count and think to yourself, this show would be awesome if it had less toilet humor and was not about the Punisher? If so, join me, Emily Williams, as I class up the Punisher guys on Dane and Jake Get Classy. We're like the Oprah Book Club of comics. You'll hear us discuss famous works like The Dark Knight Returns and The Grove, along with graphic novels no one else is talking about, like Blue Monday and Blankets. You can find us at DanaJGetClassy.wordpress.com or on iTunes.
Remote Control is the new TV podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. We'll be covering TV shows and topics from the year 2000 to whenever now is. We'll have special themed episodes entitled Pilot and Season Premieres, as well as finishing finales. We'll also have Season Pass episodes, where we take a look at an entire season of a TV show. Remote Control can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and www.geekcastradio.com. So tune in, because we are all remote controlled.
I want to, again, go back to 2014, because when this quote-unquote leaked footage was found on the internet, there was some other leaked footage from two other movies as well that, thankfully, I guess it's probably for the best they didn't make it. Marvin the Martian and Hong Kong Phooey. It was Eddie Murphy who voiced Hong Kong Phooey, and he was using nunchucks, he hit himself in the nuts, and then decided to get himself a drink, and he's drinking out of the toilet, and he takes the mint in the toy, when he thinks it's something you can eat, and I was like, okay, I know it's not getting greenlit. Marvin the Martian, a kid from the Disney Channel show Adamant, thinks that he's a Christmas toy, and Marvin's going to destroy Christmas, and that's it. But then I watched the leaked footage for Deadpool, and it's Ryan Reynolds pretty much not even going back to Origins, just like, he's just there to do a mission, and it's a great leaked footage. Now, he denied that this footage got leaked, but now in interviews, he's kind of saying, yeah, it was leaked on purpose, and because of the internet, and they not only greenlit this movie, it was supposed to come out last year, and it waited another year, thank God. Pretty much 90% of this movie is the highway, and I'm not complaining. And you have to blink and you miss it, unfortunately, but if you really pay attention to it, and I can't wait for this to come out on Blu-ray, It's when there's a guy on a motorcycle, and Deadpool, I think, shoots the chain off of the motorcycle, and the guy gets decapitated and goes flying, and he hits the highway sign, just like splats.
It's like a big splash. Yeah. Splat of guts.
Falls down later on when Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead are there.
I mean, the movie went off like gangbusters. It made its profit and then some, and it's like the highest comic book movie for now, you know. I like how Blade is like that internet meme. Blade is like, wait, what? Like, I was the highest R-rated comic book movie, now I'm not. But Deadpool, the problem I think that they gave away way too much with the trailer and with the leaked footage. I still love the movie. I saw it twice, but I think this could have been damaging because go see the movie when all this footage was being shown a lot and then some. They put some new things in, and they kind of tweaked the highway. But at the end of the day, you have the highway, the helicarrier, and the origin story, and the sex montage. And of all those four things I discussed, three of them are memorable. The origin story, I'm just sick of, because they could have done, like, Spaceballs, and they could have just had, or, if this is Deadpool, Deadpool could have just, like, paused the movie, said, bang, 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 back to the movie, that's it. And we would have been happy with it.
I think it's important to show that it's not, that he was already kind of crazy. They wanted to add some stakes to this character, and they wanted to add, you know, a little bit of adventure to what he's doing, because if you look at the bare bones of the character, he's a mercenary, and we all know that, which means it's not likely to see him in a big fight with the X-Men or the Avengers, because honestly, what would he gain from it? He's a mercenary. He wants money. You know, those big saving the world type things, that's not his bag, which means we need to stick our flag in something that we can rally behind, you know, and this love interest with, what's her name, Vanessa?
Yeah, Vanessa.
Yeah, bringing her in and letting us see what he's like before he goes to the experiment, to the workshop, you know, that kind of lets us see that he's fighting for something. He's fighting to get back to the woman he loves, he's fighting for a cure, you know, all this, that, and the other thing. If it's just him fighting for money, then it kind of becomes a video game, and we already have that. Movie-going audiences need a hero to cheer for. Yeah, that gives something for the audience to rally behind.
Yeah, I thought they did it good like that. I thought the way they went from the present to the past was really well, because if you look at Fantastic Four, that flop, they give us this really long origin in the beginning, then they get their powers, and then boom, the movie's over after they fight Dr. Doom, and it's like, okay, that's what sucked about that movie, I thought, because, you know, they set it up really well, and then all of a sudden, boom, they get their powers, they fight Dr. Doom, and it's over. Deadpool could have did that same mistake by giving us an origin in the beginning, and then boom, he fights a bunch of bad guys and it's over. But I thought it was good the way they split it up like that, the present and the past.
This was smarter, I have to admit, because the way that it opens, first of all, it's typical Deadpool, where the opening credits are God's Perfect Idiot and a hot chick and a CGI character, a moody teenager, and directed by an overpaid tool, while we have Angels in the Morning being played in the opening credits, and just seeing like this slow motion imagery of Deadpool just destroying the cars and giving a henchman a wedgie, then we kind of go Quentin Tarantino, where we see Deadpool in the cab, we see Deadpool on the overpass, now he's listening to Shoop by Salt and Peppa instead of Howl Bat Girl, thank God, because I think TMNT just, like, downplay that shit. It is fan service how he knows that he's a fictional character and he'll talk to the audience and feels very Wayne's, as we said, Ferris Bueller, because Ryan Reynolds was in Van Wilder, and that was kind of like the 21st century Ferris Bueller. But it's okay, because the only thing I'm going to say about breaking the fourth wall, I know he does it, and he's not the first, and he probably won't be the last. It can get dangerous, especially for somebody like Deadpool, because when you get so dependent on breaking the fourth wall, and he broke it twice to, like, the 16th wall in that scene where he goes back to the laundry room, how he met Blind Al, I feel if you get so dependent on that, it'll kind of take you out of the movie. Deadpool makes it work for two reasons. When he gets to Agent Smith, And he takes the camera and he pushes it away. It's like, you don't want to see this. And he says, this little piggy. And you have the extras walking by hearing the reactions. It's an R-rated movie. I gotta ask, because you're using your imagination, was Deadpool castrating Agent Smith? That's what I thought, because he's pushing the camera away, and he goes, this little piggy, and you just see these reactions of the extras in Chinatown, so I don't know what's going on that.
They actually did what Ang Lee tried to do with the original Hulk movie and make a comic book come to life. They succeeded. Tim Miller did it in this movie. With this, because that's exactly something Deadpool would have done in the comic book. He would have, like, swiped the panel aside. The next panel would have been the action shot of the people walking by. I mean, it's literally just, it was a perfect comic book come to life.
From a filmmaking aspect, it's kind of really smart, because at that point, he's already done so many horrible things, you know, lopping off limbs and whatnot, pushes the camera away, kind of lets the audience fill in the gaps for themselves, and it's that whole thing of nothing will be more disgusting than what you can come up with in your own mind. It's an interesting little storytelling technique, and I think it played really well in the film.
I appreciate that it's going to be an R-rated film, because this is a whole thing as well that we've talked about. It's an R-rated movie. Parents are trying to petition for this to be PG-13 to take their kids. Yeah. I don't think... Listen, when I was 11 years old, my parents were workaholics for years. And what they decided to do was, one day when I was 11, they said, you know what, we're going to have you watch an R-rated film, but here's how it's going to work. You can watch it, but if we find out you say the F word or the S word or anything, you curse, you do any of that, you curse, swear, whatever, we'll take responsibility, but if we find that you're doing it, you're grounded, and you can't watch any of this stuff until you're 18 to 21 years old, fine. Yeah. They had me watch History of the World Part 1. Which was probably my first R-rated movie, and it was awesome. And then I finally got to see Coming to America and Bachelor Party, and you get the idea. Yeah. I was good with it. Now, when they weren't around and I got away with it, I said the F word a lot, and to the point where I got so sick of that word. It's kind of like you getting caught smoking, and your parents are going to throw you into the closet and give you a pack of cigarettes until you're sick of smoking. I just... You know, if you're going to make it R-rated, I wanted to make sure it was going to be R-rated for Deadpool's violent nature, not just him walking around going like South Park with that Tourette's episode where he's just going to...
No, that was part of the comic book charm, too, is because they were, you know, putting their little thimbles and expletives and whatnot whenever he would drop the F-bomb in the comic book. Shit, you know, and like you could immediately see shit there instead of squiggly S. Pound sign, you know, something else, whatever.
I get that, but we have another character known for his katanas. And, again, with TMNT, with the Mirage comics, we saw Leonardo using those katana blades. He was taking those blades and shoving his katana blades through people's eyes and decapitating them. In the 80s cartoon, Leonardo couldn't do that. So when you get Deadpool and you're going to get an R-rated comic book film with a guy with katanas, I want to see him kebabbing people, which he did. I want to see him decapitating people, which he did. I don't really want to hear him just using the F word and not using the katana blades. So I got the best of both worlds, but I was kind of hoping for a little bit more creativity, especially when in Dead Presidents where he gets swallowed by Godzilla, and we've seen this before where he'll cut his way out. I want to see that in the next Deadpool movie. And Deadpool doing it. Because the way that it's done in Deadpool, people are yelling at him, calling him a freak for leaving a dead kaiju in the middle of the street. And Deadpool's just walking through the guts and the dead kaiju and just saying, oh, don't worry, he'll just wash away. Like the rain will wash him away. Yeah. That's what I want to see in my Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
I want to see Deadpool in X-Force.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Are we going to get an X-Force movie?
Last year, signed the rights to do an X-Force movie to come out sometime in 2017/2018. They put it on their, like, docket of films, and that's when the Deadpool footage was leaked as well. It was around the same time as that, and it was confirmed again at the end of last year that they still had the rights to do an X-Force movie.
Other thing, too, is that in the credits we got the controversial, the Gran Turismo's cameo. Now, a lot of people thought this was going to be Hugh Jackman because he and Ryan Reynolds are friends and, you know, X-Men Origins. We figured Hugh Jackman was just going to show up and do something for like a day. We got Stan Lee. Ironically, Stan Lee was in... Well, he was part of Stripperella, that cartoon, yeah.
Dude, it's an internet meme, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the internet meme? Yeah, I can look at comic books on the internet, or comic books are like boobs. I'd like to see them on the internet, but I prefer to hold one in my hand.
Yeah.
And he's working in a strip club. Come on.
Oh, I love that. You know, you can't buy love, but you can rent it for 3 minutes. I mean, this is Stan Lee. And he was upset that he didn't get a big enough role. You know what? If they would have changed it, he could have been Blind Al. I would have minded.
He's the best cameo ever for him.
Oh, I think any cameo he has. People are complaining because they're like, oh, now he's got to be in every Marvel movie. Well, he's not. And even if he is, look, he helped create, you know, redefine Marvel. Let him have his say. I don't think he created Deadpool, but...
No, he's still part of the Marvel. Nicesia and Rob Liefeld were the creators of Deadpool.
Right. I would just like to see with Stanley having a bigger role or something and not just a walk-on, because now it feels like... But then again, it seems to be like John Ratzenberger cameoing in Pixar movies. If you have him in there, it's good luck. You're either going to get a good review or a huge box office. And Deadpool seemed to have gotten rave reviews at a big box office. And
I think it's important to remember that while it's the Stanley cameos are fun, Stanley's not an actor. They're trying to, you know, the bigger trend in comic book movies now is they're actually getting, like, really good actors to play these roles. The other thing to keep in mind, Dan's in his 90s. He can't be on a movie set all day for 3 to 6 months. He's too old. He can't do that.
Yeah, he is, but you know what? A 10-minute part at least or something, he was worth it. I think it's still one of the best roles he played. But we also have a character we haven't talked about too much. Long Live the Hud. Hud from Cloverfield. T.J. Miller as Weasel. I don't know too much about... I think he was supposed to work for Osborn, but Deadpool used time travel to ruin Weasel's career, so this way Deadpool could just work with Weasel and get technology on the cheap.
Pretty much.
Yeah, in this universe, Weasel is the bartender or whatever at the, you know, St. Mary's School for Girls, you know, the cover of Mercenary Bar. T.J. Miller, for me, if you can't get John Heder, you get T.J. Miller. I loved him in Cloverfield. I thought he was the best part of Cloverfield. Like, come on, like, you've never had a HUD in your group? Seriously. So, the only movies I haven't really liked him in so far were Transformers, you know, the last Transformers movie, Age of Extinction, and that Yogi Bear movie.
Hey, he was great when he got annihilated by the cool Lamborghini Transformer guy.
Yeah, but come on, a surfer in Texas, that doesn't work. Unless you go to Mexico, and even then it doesn't make any sense. He doesn't do much, but I think we're going to see what it feels very Wayne's World-ish. Where we're getting Ryan Reynolds as Wayne and T.J. Miller as Garth in a way, the way that he looks. We don't see much of Weasel after a while. He just, like, drops out of the picture. I understand he doesn't want to fight or anything. Yeah, he's not the worst thing in the movie, though.
No, he's the everyman, though. I'm sorry, but if you know your best friend is Deadpool, and you watch this motherfucker pack up a giant bag of guns, you're going to go with him?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to sit here and watch CNN.
Yeah.
He knows
in the two fights that he has, the two major ones, the highway and the helicarrier, he keeps forgetting his ammo.
Yeah.
So the first time he has the 12 bullets. I like how it's used, though. Like, you see the numbers coming off cross and how he utilizes the bullets.
Yeah, I like that.
One of them, he gets shot through the ass, or he shoots through his rear end, right? Is that how it goes through?
No, he got shot in the ass.
Yeah.
He literally got shot in the ass.
I also like the moment where he gets shot. I guess the hole goes through the hand of the arm, and he's using it like as a peephole to, like, right before it starts to regenerate.
Right, yeah.
So there were some great shots. But, again, what was great about this movie, we got two major battles. We got the highway and we got the helicarrier. I do appreciate what they did with the highway, though, this time around, because they added a few new things, especially with the guy in the motorcycle, where Deadpool is just kicking the shit out of what he does with Francis, how Deadpool plays off each other. This was Ryan Reynolds in the suit the entire time, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this almost reminds me of RoboCop. Like, I don't know where Peter Weller ends and the makeup begins. When it comes to Ryan Reynolds, I don't know where the actor ends and the costume begins, because they decided to animate the eye CGI, which is great.
I'm fine with that.
It works. It's probably one of the best costumes. People have said that Deadpool is really the grown-up Spider-Man, and I believe it. I mean, this is what I wanted to see in Spider-Man, because with the Spider-Man movies, we never... Spider-Man is known for his thoughts, and we don't never get to hear Spider-Man's thoughts except in the opening of the movie, and that's it. Yeah. Here, we hear Wade's thoughts, and he talks, and he breaks the fourth wall.
We've seen, starting back with Superman in the 70s, I think we've seen the comic book movies go through different eras, and I think this is definitely the flagship of a new era of comic book movies. A lot of people were saying, "Oh, it's the first R-rated comic book movie." No, it's not. But it's probably the first R-rated comic book movie that's done as well as this one is.
Give them that one.
Yeah.
I think that it's because it's kind of aimed, whether it's for kids or not, it's clearly meant for, that's going to be the trend here, comic book movies.
Yeah, here Wolverine 3 is supposed to be R-rated. They're talking about
it. Yep.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Dr. Andrea Littamendi, clinical psychologist.
And I'm Brian Ward, nerd. And we want to invite you to listen to our new podcast, The Arkham Sessions.
It's a podcast dedicated to the fun
and geeky
analysis of Batman the Animated Series, episode by episode.
We pay tribute to the writers and the stories of the animated series,
while also exploring the very real psychology behind Gotham's rogues.
And maybe even its heroes. All of this and more
each week
on the Arkham Sessions
at underthemaskonline.com.
In a world where so many podcasts offer TV and movie news, along comes another one filled to the brim with podcasty goodness that is only slightly better at best.
Admit it, you're always looking for a new brand of meaningless movie nonsense in your podcast diet?
Look for the 365 Flicks podcast on Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, and all good third-party podcast apps. You can also swing by the Facebook page.
Come join in on the adventures of Kev, a pissy ex-video store clerk,
and Chris, a Scottish Whedon Hall.
We're your vocal heroes of pissy opinion.
We bring you all the latest TV and movie news, reviews, and general geeky rants,
as well as a bunch of top fives that you really won't care about. So whether you're Team Iron Man or Team Cap,
you're Team Batman or Team Superman,
drop on by the 365 Flicks podcast, where the Chris vs. Kev Civil War never stops.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, here, that's going to be the problem, though, because now everybody's going to say, well, Deadpool worked, so we're going to make these R-rated. Now, here's the thing, though. I said this then, I said it now, and I'm going to say it 10 years from now. Batman was never meant for kids. You know, maybe the Silver Age stuff, but definitely not Golden, Bronze, or New 52. Batman is a vigilante. He saw his parents murdered in front of him. He's dealing with psychopaths. This is not a kid's movie, except if you just go to the Silver Age section and the challenge of the Super Friends. But if you put Batman in the grown-up universe, it's not for kids. Superman, we could debate that for hours. Aquaman, the same thing. But X-Men and Deadpool, not everything has to be for five-year-olds, just written for the mentality of five-year-olds, I suppose. But the problem I have with this is that everybody's going to think, because Deadpool was this successful, every superhero movie now has to be going back to rated R, especially Wolverine. That's great. You want to do Old Man Logan, but here's the problem.
Yeah.
Rights issues and director's cuts and whatnot. No, you're going to kill the golden goose, and you're going to make things raunchier and more violent. You're not going to understand what made Deadpool work so well. What makes Deadpool work so well is a few of the cast members and how they play off each other, and that's going to be the con.
You know, I can see movie executives going, okay, well, we got to have R-rated superheroes. That's the thing. But I think what's becoming more of a trend, and it's headed in that direction, is people going, you know what, maybe we ought to get the people who really love this property to make the movie. You know, we get big fans of Batman, we get big fans of the Avengers, we get big fans of Deadpool to make these movies and give them enough money to make it the right way. And now the trend will be, well, if it gets an R rating, that's okay. You know, because they were trying to always keep it in PG-13. Now that we've seen with Deadpool, when you give it to fans who do it the right way, like Ryan Reynolds and everybody that's involved with Deadpool, and they do it the right way, if it gets an R rating, they see a lot of money. I think the studios are going to kind of ease back on, you know, putting so many restrictions on these comic book movies because they're trying desperately to keep it PG-13.
I agree with what Todd was saying. It really does a fan service to these movies that actually they're following a canon. If you're following the canon of most of the comic book movies, with any comic character, you've had the dark moment. I mean, not everything is pretty and is happy. I mean, for a perfect example, Green Arrow, he has an archer who comes underneath of him as an apprentice who has HIV. That's not something that you know, in a PG-rated movie you're going to show to kids, because that's a lot of questions that parents have to answer that, you know, given the age bracket, they're not going to be ready for, which is exactly why Deadpool is not for kids.
Watchmen.
Watchmen. V for Vendetta. I mean, even though that's on the lighter side of things.
Yeah.
But it's a fan service. It's something that a lot of people have been waiting to see. It gives you what movies that didn't make as much, like Howard the Duck, like Spawn, when they made Spawn. That's the nitty-gritty that they were going for, but it's not until more recent comic book movies, Watchmen, what's the other one, 300 that was done, Sin City, all of those, the newer ones, where they haven't had their hands handcuffed or tied by any kind of rating system. Those were brilliant adaptations of what the original canon was supposed to be.
Some of my favorite movies, too.
And if you read the Deadpool, I mean, you've read a couple of the trades. I mean, this one did justice to it. Ryan Reynolds was what Wade Wilson is. He was Deadpool. He embodied that character and brought it to life on the screen from a comic page. So, for me, absolutely, I would be fine with them making them, but still keeping some of the movies, like the Lego movie Batman, and like the some of the animated series, not Assault on Arkham, but some of the animated series, those are fine to keep for kids, because that lets both parents and adult, or, you know, parents and kids have their versions that they can enjoy together.
Yeah. Or, I mean, if I was a little kid and I saw Deadpool and how cool that character looks, but I can't get in to see the movie, I would be pissed on the kid, you know? That's what it's
right.
Like, because the lights look so, like, the kids would love to see these characters on the screen, but it's already, they can't get in. It's like, oh, man. That's for them, you know?
I saw this movie twice, and the first time I saw it opening day, I try to sit up in the front now because, you know, I bring the iPad, I try to take my notes for the review, and unfortunately, between Hail Caesar, you had a bunch of old people that just liked to talk back to the screen and wouldn't shut up while I was trying to do my notes or anything. This movie, 10 a.m. showing, got to see an extreme digital, you know, IMAX. I'm sitting in and usually nobody sits in the first three rows, except for these old people. And then on opening day for Deadpool, it's just this one guy that apparently this homeless program decided to take them on a field trip to see Deadpool, and this one guy who I guess didn't get enough oxygen in his brain or whatever is acting like Deadpool and will not shut the fuck up during the movie. And then somebody comes in at the last minute sitting next to me with a baby for like 5 minutes until the baby starts to cry and she has to take the kid out. And then I find out the second time I saw the movie on Saturday brought 2 5-year-olds, and I'm kind of like, I don't know if you can't get a sitter, I don't know what the situation is, but you know what this movie is about. This is not to bring a 5-year-old, and then, you know, don't complain about the consequence.
Like, Kendra and I, prime example, Bud likes the Ultimate Spider-Man, and he knows Deadpool from that show, but we're not letting him watch this movie.
No.
You can have that version of Deadpool.
Yeah.
We'll take this version.
And they do it really, really well. The animated version, I mean, he's still a smartass.
Yeah.
He's still who he is, it's just censored smartass.
He's just Spider-Man with katana blade.
It's 8-year-old version.
I've seen that Ultimate Spider-Man version of Deadpool. It's Groucho Marx, yeah, the guy doesn't shut up. They did change the origin of the Ultimate Spider-Man, where Deadpool pretty much acts like Joker. If he has to have a pass, it's going to be multiple choice, is what I got out of it, which is fine. He finally admits that he thinks that he was either the tortured nerd or the nerd torturer, or Nick Fury decided to take him in. I don't buy the fact that Fury would take him in. Colossus in this movie keeps trying to recruit Deadpool for some reason. Yeah, I know they're hinting for X-Force, and yeah, there are these comics we have. Deadpool in X-Force, he eventually fights X-Force, he'll fight the Marvel Universe, he'll kill the Marvel Universe.
He's also part of X-Force.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. He's fought a zombified Tyrannosaurus Rex. I mean, come on.
Just think about this for a second, though. Okay, Hugh Jackman's already said that this next Wolverine's going to be his last one. What if Fox could throw enough money at him or whatever have you and get Hugh Jackman to reprise his role as Wolverine for X-Force and have him team up with Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds, and Scott Lang as Cable, and then, you know, fill out your Aunt Olivia Munn as Psylocke because she's part of freaking X-Force as well. You know, fill out your ensemble with the rest of the right characters. Dude, that's money. Fox would be stupid not to do that.
Well,
that's money.
To me, I think that they sold the rights, or Lucas sold the rights of Star Wars, is not such a bad thing. And I think that if Deadpool made its money, they're going to listen to the fans. If they listen to the fans to greenlight this movie, and we're getting Cable and Deadpool for the sequel, I have a feeling we're going to get X-Force. And if we're going to try to put Deadpool, again, if there were hints about Colossus trying to recruit Deadpool, and we're going to get something out of this. I know Hugh Jackman is like, I'm retiring after the third Wolverine movie. No, I don't think he's going to retire. I think people are going to say, work in at least one X-Force movie and then go into Old Man Logan. They're going to have to do something, because I do love how Ryan Reynolds put the mask of Hugh Jackman on his face. Like, he stapled it on his face.
Yeah.
And to me, that was brilliant. I mean, we got Hugh Jackman, it's just, you know, him stapled on there. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure we're going to get something down the road. I just don't know what it's going to be, but I have not read Cable and Deadpool yet. I want to. And
yeah,
I have it.
The other day. I was going to pick it up, but I didn't.
Yeah. The best thing I can tell fans right now is that with Comixology partnering with Amazon, you can get the trades, and especially they have all these sales, especially Deadpool sale, where you can get an app called Scribd, where it's $8.99 a month.
You're trying to make some money off this one, ain't you?
Yeah, $8.99 a month, and you can
the shit out of Comixology and Amazon. You're like,
yeah, well, also with Scribd, if it's $8.99 a month, you can at least rent. You can rent. You know, you can rent the comics, and you can rent the graphic novels, and you can rent Cable and Deadpool, which is what I'm doing, and I rented Merc with a Mouth.
Better yet, you can carry your ass to the library.
Yeah, well, that too. We haven't even talked about Deadpool Corps, where it's Dogpool, Lady Deathpool, Kidpool, Headpool, where it's a zombified zombified Bobby. Deadpool, yeah. A zombified Deadpool with a beanie on his head, which is perfect. I know, I think there's one called Mercs with Money, and I almost forgot, he was actually the herald for Galactus for one issue.
They even got their own Deadpool portrait, too.
Oh, you didn't hear about this, Todd? Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard about that.
It's called Deadpool Team Up, and what he does is that he owes $300,000 because out of that $200-something of it, he bought guinea pigs, and he's broke. So what he does is he calls all the major Marvel villains like Assassin for Hire. Doc Ock hangs up the phone quickly. Dr. Doom doesn't want him. Mr. Sinister, like, nobody wants him. And he accidentally calls Tony Stark, and Tony's like, you know, I'm a good guy, and Deadpool's like, oops, wrong number. So he goes on the internet, and he sees that Galactus put an ad for a new herald. And he says, all you have to do is say, I want to be the herald of Galactus, and that's it. So Deadpool goes herald, and Galactus is like, okay, you know, I want you to scout out planets so I can eat them, and that's it. And Deadpool's like, cool. And he gets kind of like this, he doesn't get the surfboard, but he kind of gets like this chimichanga type of craft. Yeah. And he goes to this one world, and he's helping Galactus, you know, devour it. And the problem is that Deadpool doesn't shut up, and he starts singing the Friends, Lisa Kudrow, Smelly Cat song while Deadpool's eating. And Galactus is like, just shut up, and he fires Deadpool. And then Silver Surfer comes out, and they battle. And Silver Surfer kicks Deadpool's ass, and Deadpool just goes back to Earth broke as usual. But it's amazing. It's a great comic.
Check that out.
He gets his hands on the Infinity Gauntlet for a while, and he just uses it to do a comic book roast. Like, he brings the entire Marvel Universe in, and they just roast him. But it's funny because he's never sat through a roast entirely. He doesn't understand it, so he just, like, he quits.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends. And he, like, he gives the Gauntlet back to Thanos. He's married to the Bride of Dracula. Again, he is in love with death like Thanos, and she loves him because, although Thanos is this big brute, she loves Deadpool because he's more passionate and more understanding, and it sucks because he can't die because he keeps regenerating, and then Thanos cursed Deadpool with immortality, so Deadpool can never die and be with his one true love. Vanessa, her story is still the same as in the comics and in the movie. She is a prostitute, a barmaid. Deadpool does leave her when he has the cancer because he doesn't think he can do anything for her. She eventually becomes a mutant copycat. I'm assuming that's what they're going to do for the sequel. But for this movie, they end up together for a while, so whatever happens. But I'd like to see...
Hey, she fucked Ryan Reynolds in the ass with a strap on.
Yeah, she did.
She's got that on her resume now.
I do have to ask, though, because people think that she actually is going to be Death, because they're going to try to, like, hybrid that in if they can, even though there are rights issues. Not. Yeah.
I heard that she was, there's a rumor floating around that she's Domino.
No, again, it'll be better than Keira Knightley, but then again, what is
it? Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen those pirate movies. Sorry, you know, you walking around in your underwear in the third movie and just making facial expressions is not acting. Sorry, Kara. This movie doesn't stop. It is entertaining, but I have to say, I'm going to put this next to Ant-Man, where we didn't want an Ant-Man movie, but the trailer had awesome music, just like the Deadpool trailer. It had great marketing. Like, Ant-Man's marketing was just these little mini signs, and Deadpool, the marketing with Deadpool was amazing. And then some. We had that emojicon, like the skull with the pool. Deadpool. We had Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. He was trick-or-treating with kids. He was doing voiceovers and saying, like, the studio that the last time... Like, he was chomping at the bit, saying, like, the studio that was stupid enough to sew Deadpool's mouth shut. I mean, the marketing was intense, and it paid off, and then some. But
it was an actor enjoying his work.
Yes, and that's something we didn't get often with these movies. Where here's the thing too, with Superman and Batman being so fucking gritty, and even the X-Men, Deadpool literally takes the Charms ring lollipop out of its ass and has fun with it. And I think
literally.
Literally. And I think that's what makes this so entertaining. The only thing is the cons, like Ant-Man. I don't care too much about the villain the first time around and the leading lady, but the second time I watched the movie, I think Vanessa's a lot better. I think the actor's a lot better than that leading lady in Ant-Man, and I think Ajax is a lot better.
He's from Firefly.
And Gotham. This is Dr. Leslie Tompkins.
Let's go. No, Firefly. Before that.
Yeah. V.
Yeah, that's right. First
order. We have Ajax was a lot better than Yellowjacket and Ant-Man. I'll say that right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Ajax is definitely, and of course Angel Dust. But I think the cons, unfortunately, right now, the Teenage Warhead and the Colossus, we don't see it. I do love when they're in the cab, though.
You got an actual real Colossus, you know.
He's CGI, though, right?
But this is actually, like, the best Colossus that's been on film thus far.
That's true.
Got a Russian accent.
And the way he looks, I mean, they got it right, you know. Totally.
They did a great job with him. I mean, make him a little shinier, make it look
If they can just do that, the X-Men movie
would
be perfect.
And just like Ant-Man, we got Paul Rudd as the lead, and in Deadpool, we got motherfucking Ryan Reynolds, that I think, out of all the movies I've seen him in, I still say my favorite are Just Friends, the most underrated romantic comedy I've ever seen him in.
Yeah.
Amityville Horror, he's not terrible. I mean, there are movies that he's in that people, thankfully, I think now are going to realize he is 125% effort in these. Especially his dialogue. I also appreciate when they are going to attack the Helicarrier and they're playing XCOM and they forget the bag of ammo and they have to stop and Deadpool's on the cell phone trying to call Dupender to get his bag back. This movie is nonstop fun, and especially how Deadpool plays off of everybody in the movie. Dupender, Colossus, Teenage Warhead.
Yeah.
This movie...
Spoiler, when he shoots Ajax in the head.
Yeah, I mean, and he's like, oh, you just go on droning. And even the post-credit scene, the only thing that I'm not a fan of is him going back and bashing Green Lantern, because I sat through it, finally, last weekend. Yeah, it sucks. Green Lantern, I do not recommend to anybody. It is garbage. But here's the thing, though. We get that you were in Green Lantern. We get that it almost destroyed your career. We get that it ruined your marriage with Scarlett Johansson because that bombed and she was working on Avengers. I get all that.
No. It's because he met his future wife, Blake Lively, on the set of Green Lantern.
Yeah, well, whatever the case may be, I just have to say, Green Lantern may have ruined your career for a while, but Deadpool resurrected it or regenerated it. So,
I'm going to say this. If anybody's going to give themselves crap, at least let it be the actor who played Bolt.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody's earned it, it's Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is probably the most underrated, underappreciated, and I think this movie, the way that he bashes Xavier and X-Men on the bridge after he decimates people on the bridge. I forget all the line reads that he says about Xavier about wanting to join the X-Men. But yeah, I don't know why Colossus wants him to join the X-Men when...
Because that's Xavier's credo, as we accept all mutants. No matter the race, creed, or color, or what they've done in their past, our doors are always open and we will try to embrace them as our brother.
But here's the thing, though, is that he's not technically a mutant. He was created. So
I don't care.
Yeah, that's true too.
He was. That's the whole point. You even see that in the movie. The whole point of what Francis is doing to him and to anyone who comes into the basement is to exploit their mutant gene and to make it expose itself.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. He is a mutant.
He just has a latent mutant gene. It hadn't surfaced yet. It didn't break through in puberty like it usually should.
Yeah.
Francis was like, "Hey, you're ugly and can regenerate now."
Yeah, I
could
see that.
Well, whatever it is, he regenerated, and thank God that he has. I can't wait to see Deadpool and Cable, but in the meantime...
Avocado. Who had sex with an older avocado.
Yeah, that's something else, too, is that you had all these Facebook generators where I got it where my face looks like it had an acid bath with Voldemort. Should this movie be put into the Deadpool, or was this regenerated?
I love this fucking movie. I mean, this was everything that a movie with Deadpool was supposed to be. If you were going to put him into a movie, this was the way to do it. For me, it's a perfect 10. I don't even think we do that scale, but this is a perfect 10. The actors were on point, the story was perfect, the jokes were actually funny. You knew that Ryan was actually, he did his research. You knew that he had a passion not only for the character, but honestly, anything that he poked fun at. The Easter eggs were there, and they were done beautifully. I loved this movie. I mean, this was a movie that he hates the character for, and loved the movie. The first time he giggled was within 20 seconds of the film shooting, and it was the Starbucks cup with Rob Liefeld's name on it. Yeah. It was funny. It was the best thing I've ever seen. As a creator myself, if I were to see that, that would be the way I would want to see my name. I want to see it on a piece of crap being thrown away.
Well, he also made a cameo in the movie, too.
Yes, he did. He was in it, too.
He was in the bar.
Yeah, he was in the bar.
Yeah.
It was beautifully done. The jokes were there.
He called his name. He was like, Rob Liefeld. Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah. That's it. But, I mean, this was the way to do it. This was a perfect 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'll just go ahead and, you know, take the stick next and run with it really quick, you know, just go and get it out. As she said, I hate the character. I cannot stand the comic book of people.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the shit out of this movie. I'm going to buy it the day it comes out on Blu-ray, because I'll be at work when it comes out, so I'll pick it up.
When is it coming out on Blu-ray?
I don't know, but when it comes out, I'll buy it.
It'll probably be like a couple months, probably.
Yeah.
Fox's turnaround on making this movie was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, they did this shit in like 4 weeks. They were like, hey, there's a month of shooting. Boom, Deadpool the movie, what's up?
Yeah.
Batman vs. Superman has been going for what, like 2 years now? It's getting ready to come out?
Oh, hold on, he reminded me. Here's another reason why this is a 10 out of 10 for me. And this is why I love Ryan Reynolds. So Ryan Reynolds, in an interview, both him and Ben Affleck were asked the same question. If they ever took a suit home from the movie film. And Ben Affleck was like, no, you know, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds was like, yeah, I already stole one. It's at home in my closet.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, he's really into the character.
That's how much love there is for this movie, for this character. I mean, he didn't just take this on willy-nilly. He didn't do it for the money. He probably did it for the money. I would have. But that wasn't all that it was for him. This was somebody that he wanted to do.
That was also a way of saying sorry to the fans for having to do X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Is there an X-Men Origins Deadpool figure? Because I know that they show it in the movie, and I don't know if they ever made one.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Tim Miller actually brought his action figure to work that day.
Yeah.
He was like, I had this. Put it right there, so we'd say fuck you.
We didn't talk about this, though. There have been a couple YouTube videos where we have old school Deadpool versus Origins Deadpool, and old school Deadpool kills Origins Deadpool, thank God. He just is able to shoot off Origins Deadpool head when he's trying to use the Cyclops beams. I mean, Deadpool's also had a rap battle with Boba Fett. I bought a exclusive T-Fury online shirt, Boba Fett and Deadpool fist bumping each other.
Oh yeah, dude. Alright, you want to go ahead and you did Amazon and you did Comixology. That's Screw Attack on YouTube.
Yeah.
Boba Fett versus
Deadpool. No, that was Epic Rap Battles.
Was it Epic Rap Battles?
Yeah, that was Epic Rap Battles.
It was one of the two, and they were amazing.
And there was also Death Battle, where we had Domino and Deadpool versus Joker and Harley Quinn, and Deadpool versus
that
Batman.
That was Bat and the Sun that did that one on YouTube, because they actually did the live-action Joker and Harley versus
pretty good movie,
Deadpool and Domino.
I'd like to see them do like a full feature that Bat and the Sun. They do some pretty good movies.
That would be hilarious.
Right.
They do all that production for like 5 minutes or 7 minutes. I'm thinking, dang, just go for a whole 2 hours or something, you know?
Right?
Put all that into that.
But did any of the rest of you sign the petition for Deadpool to host Saturday Night Live?
I've signed the petition. I love his response where he's making fun of Kanye West about, you know, like, I'm bigger than Hostess Cupcakes and Jim Henson and, yeah. I don't think we're going to see... If we see Ryan Reynolds, I think he's hosted Saturday Night Live before. If he hosts a Deadpool, it's going to have to be really, really late at night and on HBO to do it correctly, because...
Well, I'm hoping that either Karen Gillan or Bobby Moynihan, cast members of SNL who are also big comic book fans, I'm hoping that they kind of take that idea and run with it and, like, write a prestige format book where Deadpool comes and hosts Saturday Night Live, and they just do it as a one-shot comic book. I think that'd be great.
But then again, I've been wanting to see Cookie Monster host Saturday Night Live, and that's been for like 4 years now. We haven't seen that. But
Jeanette O'Connor could come and host SNL.
Yeah.
Oh wait, she did that.
I still like to see, you know, Cookie Gaga wearing the chocolate chip cookie dress. The way that Lady Gaga wore the meat dress.
And I've actually got a newfound respect for her because of American Horror Story.
I got a new respect for her for singing
that
national anthem.
I so much before that show, and I'm just like, you can exist now.
Eric, what are your thoughts with the Deadpool movie?
I thought it was perfect. I mean, I like when actors or anybody who's creative puts themselves into the role or puts them, like, okay, I'm a big fan of Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, Dan Slott. What he puts into the writing is what makes that book work. What makes Deadpool work is what Ryan Reynolds put into that character that hits the passion that he has for it and puts it in there. That's what makes it work. I mean, no one else could have done it, I don't think. And I just thought it was, like you said, it was just entertaining nonstop. And I love what they did to origin, mixed them, you know, going back and forth with the present day and the past. And I don't know, it's just all around a 10. Like, if we're going to do the scale, it would be definitely a perfect 10, no doubt.
No, I think everything's been said about the reasons why. But yeah, I absolutely love. I think you are also right there, Jeremy, in saying that Ryan Reynolds is an underrated actor. Because if you look at, there's a movie that came out quite a few years ago called The Finder's Fee, and it's a little independent film, but Ryan Reynolds is in it. And if you haven't seen it, you need to, because you get a different look at Ryan Reynolds and his acting ability. He also got really good reviews for that movie he did with Helen Mirren called The Woman in Gold.
Yes.
I never got around to see it, but from what I did see of it, it looks like he really stepped up to the plate, because, I mean, Helen Mirren's no slouch. She's a really fantastic British actress, and he holds his own right there with her. The other thing I'll say about Ryan is I never thought we'd see another A-list actor who not only embodies the superhero role that they take on, but really enjoys it, like 100% enjoys being the character, like Robert Downey Jr. enjoys being Iron Man. You can tell when Robert Downey Jr. steps on stage at Comic-Con wearing one of the gauntlets.
Yeah.
That dude loves being Iron Man. And I never thought we would see that in anybody else until I saw Deadpool. And I was like, you know what? That makes two. So this is, you know, two thumbs up, 5 stars, 10 out of 10. Yeah, love it.
This was one of those movies that I really wanted to go and just get a bootleg version and watch this movie now and not wait for the Blu-ray. Could not get the bootleg. I'm not going to get the bootleg. I'm going to wait for the Blu-ray. But I did see this movie a week later. I almost dragged myself and said, do I want to see it again? Do I not? Was it lightning in the bottle? I am so glad I saw this movie twice. And I'm so glad that this is one of those movies that right across the street from my local Cineplex is a comic book store. And I went out, and just, there was a section right now dedicated to Deadpool. There was a Spider-Man statue. It's being replaced by a Deadpool statue, and a huge section to everything that Deadpool has given us over the years. Omnibuses, collections, trades, you name it. He seemed to has his 15 minutes of fame and then some. For a character that, if you read Dead Presidents, where Captain America is a real dick to Deadpool in that story, and he just like shoves Wade Wilson aside after Wade Wilson, Deadpool saves the universe from zombie presidents taking over the world because a necromancer wanted to bring his dead mother back to life and accidentally brings zombie presidents back. And he's able to save a possessed George Washington, and George Washington becomes normal, and Captain America comes out of nowhere and just, like, pushes Wade Wilson aside, and you have where in other versions people just... Nobody seems to like Deadpool in the Marvel Universe, whether it be the hero or villain. They just do not care for this character. And I said what Galactus thinks about him and what Thanos thinks about him. If you think that Peter Parker's life is a living hell, Wade Wilson Deadpool's is even worse because he has cancer. He has this ability to heal, but the thing is that the cancer keeps forming. His powers keeps killing it, but it's driven him insane because he keeps healing and killing, healing and dying and healing and dying at the same time. And that's what makes Deadpool even more interesting, to make him like this Daffy Duck character. Yeah. You can do anything you want with him. The Killology, I thought it was like a tribute to Duck Amuck where he kind of takes over the script, but then in the second and third parts, he attacks literary characters, and then the third part, you get a plethora of Deadpools, like a Galactus Pool, and a Panda Pool, and then Evil Deadpool, and it's actually the 616 Marvel Deadpool versus Evil Deadpool. He eventually will hear voices in his head. I don't know if they're going to put that in the next movie, which would be great. I guess they're going to have to introduce Madcap in order for that to work, or Evil Deadpool, or however they're going to do it, but the reason that he hears voices is because he was battling a character known as Madcap. Thor comes along. Thor electrifies them both. They regenerate, but now they're sharing the same body, and that's why Deadpool hears voices. The problem is that because we're not going to get Thor because he's now part of Disney, I don't know how they're going to do this again.
Storm!
Yeah, well, they could do Storm, you're right, but... here's the beauty part, is that if they do bring in Doctor Doom now and they bring him into X-Force or whatever, I could see Deadpool versus Doctor Doom, and probably if he's a comedic villain or whatever, he'd probably work a lot better than what he did with the last couple Fantastic Four movies. I want to see Deadpool in pretty much at this point. I want to be spoiled. The golden goose, you might as well milk the cow, whatever. I want to see more. And Tim Miller, I want to see what else he can do. His directorial debut, I was really impressed with. I'd like to see him direct anything and everything at this point and really see what this guy can give us. So, yeah, this is probably the most surprising superhero movie out of the gate, and I'm glad this wasn't a summer movie. It would have been swallowed by, well, X-Men or Suicide Squad. But next month we've got
Civil War, Batman, Suicide
Squad. Yeah, we got Civil War. We got. So I'm kind of glad this is going to be a February, because it makes sense for this to be a January or February movie. But yeah, we've got Suicide Squad. We've got Civil War. We've got Apocalypse. The next one I'm actually stoked for would be Apocalypse. I really want to see where they're going to go with that. Civil War, I think they're cramming too many characters, and they're Disney-fying it, and they're going to castrate it. It's not going to be based on the ongoing series that I read, and I think it's just going to... I think Civil War is just going to suck, especially how they had to change that story for the movie. It's just fighting over Bucky, and that's not really what it's about. And they're finally giving us Spider-Man, or a version of Spider-Man. I'm really not.
I heard Miles Morales version. No,
it's Peter Parker.
It's gonna be Peter Parker up there.
Yeah, Sony doesn't want to do. Neither Sony nor Marvel wants to do the Miles Morales Spider-Man on film yet. They actually want to bring back the Spider-Man series from the brink of extinction, which Amazing Spider-Man 2 just put it there.
Yeah, the nail in the coffin. Well, I will say this one, out of all the superhero movies, as I've said, it's Suicide Squad and Apocalypse. Those are the ones that I'm kind of curious about. But As you know, speaking of R-rated or whatever the case may be for this, we've got next month Watchmen.
Yeah.
And this is going to be, as I said, after we're done with Watchmen, we're not going to hibernate, but we're going to nap a lot. I figured to take a little break. I've been curious about this one. Jungle Book. I do want to discuss, and yeah, I'm kind of curious what this movie is going to give us. We have a gigantical King Louie. We have Idris Elba as Shere Khan. We have Gandhi as Bagheera. I'm really, really curious.
Looks pretty good. That's all I'm curious.
Yeah, and since we have been nominated for the Geekcast Radio Partner Podcast Award, since the best way that we can say thank you, we've already worked on Deadpool for you. We've worked on Labyrinth. We've got one more next week because this is a movie that got snubbed at the Oscars and I'm kind of curious about. Straight Outta Compton. And then we're going to start to go right into Watchmen after that. But if we do win the award, because Mad Max got nominated for a few awards, including Best Picture at the Oscars, I came across Turbo Kid, and I know it's on Netflix streaming. I'm kind of curious. This is kind of like Mad Max for kids.
Yeah.
And of course, there's Hail Caesar, but I have a lot to say about Hail Caesar. I really, really do. And then we got this fall season 3. It's going to be Todd's Godfather Project. We've got Harry Potter. And of course, we've got Harry Potter, and we've got the Don Bluth Retro Series. So we've got a lot going on. And then next year for season 4 in 2017... I figure we start doing some anime, and what better way to kick off season 4 in January than with a movie that really got me back into anime, that brought my faith back into anime, Akira.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to discuss the hell out of this movie, because in a world where it's not just, you know, fast-talking, you know, talking animals, let's just say the one name or whatever, I'm really curious about Akira. And then, of course, there's Princess Mononoke, and there's Poco Rosso, so, yeah, and Tokyo Ghoul.
Still gotta do the last episode of Attack on Titan.
Yeah, we still gotta take care of our season part 2 of Attack on Titan and the movie.
Yeah.
Even though people at conventions have said don't do it because, you know, we love the other episodes that we just talked about. The episodes, they don't really care about the movie. They're all just like, we're done with that fucking movie. And we saw that movie, so, yeah.
It was epic.
Yeah, well.
We still need to watch the second part of the movie, but the first part of the movie was amazing.
I saw the second part in theaters, and I can tell you right now, I was not impressed what they did. Yeah. Okay.
Look for me. I will break your Harley Quinn statue.
Okay. But in the meantime, Todd, you have your Kickstarter, so plug away on this one. Because we got like 38 days left on this one.
We're just over a month left on the Kickstarter. Right now, we're just over 50% funded. We're trying to reach $1,000. Yeah, woo! Absolutely. So there's still a lot of time, but go ahead and jump on Kickstarter.com and do a search for The First Adventures on Earth with Adam and Steve. And you'll find our little book. It's 44 pages. Full color, shipped directly to your door for $7. Yeah, woo, exactly. We've got some really great incentives, from digital stuff to signed stuff to original artwork.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, exactly. My boss, D. Michael Watkins at Highburn Studios, also donated 2 sketch covers. If you have a comic book and you want someone to draw a cover for you, Mike will do it. He's offered to do pencil, ink, color, a cover for you for $300, which is not too bad. Mike's worked for Marvel and DC and the big guns, so he's got some credit to his name. We're also auctioning off original artwork from the strip. The way that my partner Caitlin put the strip together is each panel is its own separate piece of paper, so the smaller panels are nice 5x5, so you can get a couple of those, or you can get one of the bigger panels that's a 5x10, or you can see of the original movie poster spoofs that we did. We did a we did one of Jaws, which was really great. We also did little shout outs to Star Wars and Back to the Future, and we've got some brand new movie poster spoofs that you can only get if you get the book. So once again, go to Kickstarter.com and search for The First Adventures on Earth with Adam and Steve and get your copy today.
And I'm going to put the, per usual, the links in the show notes and on the Facebook pages, so we'll definitely be able to continue. And, of course, on Twitter, which I've been sharing, like, every other day.
Yes, thank you very much for that. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no, Todd, thank you. It's a very entertaining comic book. All Hail Studios, whoever wants to go first. Kendra, Ed, what have you guys been up to?
I've been sick for a week, so I haven't been really organized. Well, I mean, two of the big things that we've started off with are the new ones, so we'll go ahead and announce what happened tonight, because even Ed doesn't know. So, Insane Comics got a hold of me, and Bradley Golden was like, hey, I got a project. I need some artists, but I need an inker. Are you up for it? And I was like, I've seen the issue one of We Scream. Their work is absolutely astounding. So I was like, all right, you're working with me over at Guerrilla Comics with Nick Garber for Phantom Hawk. I got you. Why not? So I've signed up for Insane Comics as of tonight, and then last week I officially accepted the job at Lunar 6 to write for their manga, Lunar 6, which will be out here really, really shortly. Woo! Woo-hoo! That is the theme of this year. Woo-hoo!
Hashtag woo-hoo.
That is. That's our Deadpool hashtag. Woo-hoo! We're gonna beat out Ric Flair.
We'll do reviews on the iCowcast game page. Just did the Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U the other day. Still reveling in how awesome that game and system is. Got a little something something working up where I'm gonna be coming back and doing some more writing and whatnot in the comic business. I might actually have to break out the pencil again and do some more pages.
Woohoo!
And see if the club's still there or not.
Woo!
And I'm really anticipating Batman vs. Superman. If we don't review it, I'm going to burn your house down, Jeremy.
Woo!
Well, I... Well, actually, I know we're going to... I love everybody woohoo saying you're going to burn my house down. The joke's on you. It's not on my name. But here's the thing, though. I'm sure this comes to no surprise, and I'm sure that it doesn't, but yeah, we are going to be reviewing Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
Of course.
We have to. I am curious, if there's one that I don't want to review, at least the graphic novel, not the movie, would be Civil War. I can't wait to talk about Suicide Squad, Apocalypse, and Batman vs. Superman, but the whole Civil War, just the movie, again, the movie... is leaving a bad taste in my mouth.
No, we gotta do it.
Okay, so
we
guess...
We gotta do it.
It's got Black Panther.
We got... Yeah, oh, it's got Panther. We gotta do it.
Okay, so we've got... Okay, so we've got Batman
it's
versus...
It's only to have the theme song from Black Panther play at the beginning of Civil War from the fight TV show.
Yeah,
we gotta do it.
No, it was BET.
BET. My apologies.
I'll cue the bitch up on YouTube for when we come on and be like... Black
Panther! Come on, we did Mario. We did Super Mario.
Okay, we've got Batman vs. Superman, we've got Suicide Squad, we've got Civil War, we've got Apocalypse.
Yep.
And there are, as I said, two of them I'm really stoked for. Suicide Squad and Apocalypse. Those are the ones that I'm...
Yeah.
Can we see your happy face? That's a scary happy face.
Hashtag woohoo on that one. So I wouldn't that. But I also got Jungle Book, so I'm actually stoked for Jungle Book.
Woohoo! And I'll believe you.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Oh, well, hold on a second. Eric?
Yeah.
Buddy else has had time to plug.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the studio with Kanye West and I'm just kidding.
Not woohoo, Kanye West.
I had to give Kanye West a plug in there for
anything. No, you don't.
Anyway, yeah, so UWS Comics. You know, we just finished a good Kickstarter for Toby's Sleep Issue 2. Yeah, about a year after. You know, tune in for Issue 3. That's good. But, yeah, so this is the issue that you get to see the Shadow Stalkers, you know, introduced in into the storyline, and then we also did Knights of Templar. We did a Kickstarter for that, and that was successful. And that's by the talented Matt LeBrock. I do all the great things on that. And yeah, so I think issue 3 of Until We Sleep right now. But you know, you can find everything at www.uwscomics.com. That's where you can find all the good stuff on us, and t-shirts and comics and the many issues that we have, which is basically two titles right now. But you know, we're growing.
Well, small, if we're gonna do a woohoo, I do know that the United Until We Sleep Kickstarter got funded successfully.
Yeah.
Woohoo! So that was good. So now what we have to do is, you know, just finish up on Todd's Kickstarter.
Oh yeah.
Hashtag woohoo!
Woohoo! Yeah, we got a lot of woohoos going on right now. You know what's going on with me and what we're doing with the show, which is perfect. I have also moved it around a little with the episodes where SoundCloud and Podomatic, where we're just getting... I wasn't happy with what Spreaker was promising me, so we're going to get a little bit better customer service. In the meantime, you can find us... God, where can't you find us on Facebook? We have, like, so many... We pretty much broke the internet with every Facebook page on demand. And not only that, but when I announced what we were doing for the Straight Outta Compton, boy, did we got so many people from South Africa that became fans of the show, which was amazing. We got like 2,300 people reached and 208 for the Labyrinth episode, so that was amazing. So thank you, listeners. We're really...
Well, what you don't realize is that there's actually a Compton in South Africa, so, you know.
Oh, that's...
Shut up!
Yes. We're going to do you proud with a Straight Out of Compton review. I'm really curious because I did see this in the summer. I picked up the director's cut a few weeks ago. I really would like to know why this got snubbed at the Oscars. I mean, I'm not expecting it to win if it did, but I don't understand.
It's an amazing movie. It should have.
I don't understand why at the Golden Globes, when you have, like, they did the Scott Pilgrim as well, for like best... for best comedy or musical, instead of putting in Scott Pilgrim, they put in Alice in Wonderland. I don't quite understand. And for best musical or comedy, instead of putting in Straight Outta Compton, they put in Spy. I don't understand why they snubbed this movie, but we're going to talk about it in the next week or so. Until then, Kendra, Edward, Todd, Eric, thank you all.
Thank you for having us.
This is your friendly neighborhood Hunnic outcast singing, I'm never gonna dance again. I'm never gonna sing away. Something, something, something. You know the drill. Whatever the other lyrics go.
Writers are the real heroes.
Yes.
Hashtag Rob Liefeld.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the Bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
I'm Jason.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Blake from the History of Bad Ideas. And we'll get back to your regularly scheduled program here in just a second, geek listeners. But we do a weekly podcast called The History of Bad Ideas.
Yeah, well, we'll discuss things like television or movies or music or games or any other thing that falls into our geek-related podcast knowledge.
You can find us on Geek Life Radio Fridays, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, or radio-blitz. Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, or you can listen to us whenever the hell you want on iTunes and Stitcher.
Check us out. Roger says goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now for a behind-the-scenes look at GeekCast Radio Network's newest show, Talking in Circles.
That was good. So, Chuck, Greg, what are you guys thinking for this week's show?
Well, Dan, how about we just talk about the things that we've read or watched this week?
We do reviews like that every week, Chuck. How about a game, like Fact or Fiction, or The Power of Names?
Those are great, and we're always coming up with new ideas for games. And how about some top fives? You know how I love my top fives.
What about tournament-style brackets, or sequel, reboot, and destroy? Who will win in a fight? Taking Too Far? Crazy But True News? Or...
Yes, it appears we have lots of things to work on.
Listen to Talking in Circles. Taking timeless topics in new directions. Every Tuesday on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com. The GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey Dan, who's the guy with the creepy voice?
Are you tired of boring podcasts? Are you tired of paneled and structured podcasts that make you want to watch paint dry? Do you want to listen to an adult-oriented show? Do you want to hear words like f***, s***, or personal favorite, jungling thunder?
Droids Podcast. Offensive and off-topic since 2012. Insert unnecessary explosion.
What the? Come on, goddammit.
Hold on. And... Oh shit!
Michael Bay!
To get radioactive treatment, go see your local physician after listening to this podcast. To listen to further podcasts, go to droidscanada.com.
Oh, fake laugh.
Yumma, 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 yumma.
Really? Is that going to be the theme tonight?
Look, Lessard passed away. You know, I figured we're not going to do a Police Academy retrospective anytime soon. I just figured that I'd have respect for the guy.
Hey, homage.
All right, I'll let that.
I can't believe he lost Lessard.
Oh, fake laugh.
Get January Jones. No.
Oh, fake laugh.
Secret for this year. That is Jeremy's word of the year for Hanuk Outcast, is Mary Sue.
Yes.
That has been your word this year.
Yeah. But...
Oh, fake laugh.
Get January Jones. No.
Oh, fake laugh.
With King's Fisher. With King's Fisher.
Oh, fake laugh.
No, the grown-up Spider-Man is Spawn.
Oh, fake laugh.